Hi everyone, Sanemain here. This video is brought to you by a donation from Mr. Wang. This is the second of two videos I'm dedicating to him. I recently had a great chat over with Justin Vacula on his channel. Link is below. Show him some love and go over there and subscribe because he puts out great content. He also did a great job coming up with questions and maybe I should ask him to do live streams with me. What do you guys think? Anyways, before I share the video, let me first tell everyone about today's sponsor, Me the Sanemain. If you want to get your hands on this Thought Tears mug, then visit my Teespring store down in the description. You can also get your hands on the Cure for Feminism t-shirt and classic tank top. If someone doesn't like it, then you can ask them if they're being Islamophobic. I also have a Sanemain t-shirt, and 25% of the sales proceeds go to the artist, as well as the classic Sanemain sticker and mug. You can also get the entire Sanemain collection through digital download or USB key if you want through email. Those are the sound files for the first 5 seasons of my channel, so you can have those to take on the go. Each season is $15. Finally, you can also talk to me via one-on-one coaching through Skype for only $45 an hour. My contact email and Teespring shop are the first links down in the description. Anyways, here's the video, so enjoy.
So given some current events and some listeners asking about MGTOW, men going their own way, I'd like to have you on the show today and talk about your ideas about MGTOW. So to start out, what is MGTOW?
It's basically men choosing not to cohabitate and not marry, and that's about it. So, you know, you can do anything else you want as a man, but those two rules, for the most part, are agreed upon in most MGTOW circles.
And why are men walking away from marriage cohabitation?
Well, it's obviously the unfair, unjust laws against, you know, men in marriage and divorce courts. And also just that men are being treated poorly by women these days.
Yes, and even looking back at Stoic philosophy, it was a curious chapter that Epictetus has on the Cynic calling, where he's saying that marriage isn't for everyone, and having kids isn't for everyone either. One might want to focus on society at large, and marriage and kids can hold you back from doing that. There are trade-offs to be had with marriage, with children, and most things in life.
Yeah, I mean, like when I was in my 20s, around 25, I thought to myself, okay, there's two paths in life. There's the family path and there's the intellectual, spiritual path. And the problem is the two are not compatible for most people because you don't have time to kind of do both at the same time.
When Sunrise Hoodie was on, he was talking about MGTOW as freedom from and freedom to.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you're free to do anything you want, but the problem with a lot of guys that go their own way is they have an existential crisis because now they have too much freedom and they don't have enough to do. So they kind of self-destruct. So they have to kind of figure out their purpose. Now, that's easy for someone like myself because I've come, you know, front end loaded with tons of purpose. So for me, it's not that difficult to kind of pick up and do something new. But for a lot of guys, that's the most common question that I get, which is like, I'm going my own way. Now what?
Mm-hmm. And some spaces online, the incel, the black pill, we see these terms tossed around a lot. For them, it seems like because they're not in relationships, they can't find relationships, whatever it is, they think that life has lost meaning. And they've really given up in many ways. Like they'll say, it's over. You know, what's the point of life if I can't get married, if I can't get this relationship? And it's really sad to see that. Like, can't there be meaning in some other way?
Well, like, it's for 99% of guys, purpose is found in sex and a relationship. And if they don't have that, then now they have to do the difficult mental work of figuring out what their purpose is. And if all they have is a job that they hate, and they come home and they, you know, do the dishes or wash or mow the lawn or whatever, then life seems kind of empty.
So what are people finding to reorient? Where are they finding purpose other than relationships, marriage?
Well, the first purpose most guys go after is trying to earn as much money as possible and kind of get in their grind, like to borrow a term from the whole Sigma sphere. But the problem with that is like once they get enough assets, resources, money, they save enough and they become financially free, now they're going to have another existential crisis because now they have all this free time. They don't have a relationship and they don't want one maybe. So now they're kind of like, what do I do with all this time? I have no purpose. And that's even worse, because at least the job before was keeping them somewhat grounded. Now they don't even have that.
Yes. And in Stoicism, the ancient philosophers were talking about benefiting society, taking on challenges, learning new skills, cultivating virtue. So there are many paths for people rather than just one that many in society would want to say, like maybe the son has a mother who's a dentist and, oh, you must be a dentist because we put this path for you. And the Stoics will say, no, there's not just one path. There can be many ways that we can find meaning, we could find virtue.
Yeah, but the Stoics don't sound like they're lazy. The majority of people are lazy.
The Stoics are definitely saying, no, don't stay under the covers. You know, get out there in the world and rise to the challenge.
Yeah, the only way you can find meaning and purpose is to have a difficult life. If you have an easy life, then meaning will elude you.
Yeah, some people will retire at a very young age, and the Stoics have talked about this too, that if your life is just living on a beach and lounging all day, is that really a fulfilled life?
Well, you might as well be dead if you're doing that for the rest of your life.
Yeah for sure. Seneca would talk about this a lot, and like, is this really fulfillment? Are you growing? Are you challenging yourself? There could be more to do than just lounging around. So perhaps some kind of balance, that we could still have leisure, we could have hobbies, we can find purpose in many ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and the accumulation of wealth can have its own problems too, if people are sacrificing their principles or exploiting others to gain the money. So that could be a dangerous thing too.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, they don't really see it that way. Like, you know, the rich dad, poor dad guy, Robert Kiyosaki, he does all these conferences where he like swindles people out of money for real estate investment, and then he invests his money in and you know, and then he manipulates the market lower or higher depending on what he wants. So, you know, and then he's got that fake smile on his face. I cannot take that smile off his face. No matter what he says, he's got that smile on his face. So that smile kind of irks me. I don't like that smile. It's like, no one is that happy all the time.
Yeah, you're skeptical of that for sure. And sometimes people accumulate all the resources and they're not really happy at the end of the day anyway. We've seen these like really high earning celebrities, movie stars. They have millions and millions of dollars, but they say, oh, I'm depressed. They end themselves. I'm trying to avoid the censorship S word here. So yeah, maybe fulfillment won't be found in wholly focusing or mostly focusing on accumulation of resources.
There was I totally agree with you, but there's an astronaut who traveled to the moon and now he's a painter. He's like, I think he's in his 80s now. He paints. And he said that the same feeling he got when he went to the moon, he gets to some extent when he paints. So, you know, being creative, you know, if you're creative, then that's actually a good outlet for that, you know, purpose. You can find something to be creative with and then, you know, influence people for the better. That's a possibility. You just have to find your gifts and just kind of go with it.
Yeah. So some self-awareness, mindfulness, finding what you're good at, what you like doing, what you're finding enjoyment in, as you talked about earlier. People will just work 9-to-5s and really hate the job, but they just go through the motions. And then they're what, tired on the weekend, and then it's, oh, I got my Sunday, but now I'm back to work on Monday.
Yeah, no, I experienced that as well. But the problem is you can't, like, once you get into that machine, it's very difficult to get out of it. And I've got a friend of mine I'm talking to right now about this, and he's like, nothing changes. My life is the same. I have the same job for like 15 years. And like, I'm like, look, you come home and what do you do? He's like, I play video games and I listen to music. I'm like, no, stop that. Build a business. You got all this extra time. Use like 2-3 hours a day and work on something. And now he's starting to work on something. I'm going to hand off a mic to him and see, you know, he's going to start making some videos to see how that goes. And I told him, I go, look, if it fails, try something different. Because like, you know, I told him like straight up, like, your concept sounds like it's going to fail. And he's like, why is that? I'm like, because your demographic is dying. Literally, they're dying. So you're making content for an audience that's in their 60s and 70s. So, I mean, then again, he could prove me wrong. I don't know. Like, I told him it's valuable that you do that, because then you will at least get the skills for audio editing, recording. You'll learn, you know, how to upload and put things together. So, you know, you get all these skills, and then when you do the next project, then you have all these skills and it's a lot easier to do.
So just learning new things, taking some calculated risks, it sound like, can lead to fulfillment. And not every venture is going to be 100% what we wanted to be. Like, we can make very high expectations and fall short, but hey, we could try it. We can set lower expectations.
Yeah, I mean, what I've learned is, like, from the Sandman channel, and now hopefully going to launch this, you know, this Lego content on my travel channel, and just kind of transition that channel over to that full time. What I learned is, first of all, you need to make content that's high in demand. So people want the content. If they want it, then you can make it and they'll eat it up. Number one, that's super important. Number two, you have to, you know, make sure the content is up at the high end of the quality range of that demand. So, you know, highly in demand, very good in quality. If you can increase the quantity of that content, that's even better. So if you can make it every day, you know, there is like this one content producer, Brixie, and he produces content every day. And he's making $20,000 a month doing that. Right. So, you know, but again, good content as often as possible. And you want to make stuff that people are really, really demanding, but there's not enough supply in the marketplace because it's hard, right? Because if everyone could produce the content, then it wouldn't have any value because it would be everywhere.
Yeah, sure. One thing that can happen, we alluded to before, many men will have this path in life, this idea of, oh, I'm going to get married, everything's going to be great. And they figure out that, oh, maybe this isn't the life for me. Maybe they got married, it didn't work out. And some will go into what's referred to as the red pill rage, where they find out these truths. They figure that, oh, maybe relationships aren't for me. My marriage didn't work out. I was taken advantage of in some way. What do you have to say to people who are experiencing anger?
I mean, I'm the one, if you go back as far as possible, I'm the one that coined red pill rage on one of my earlier videos. And, you know, it's funny when I hear people use it all the time. It's like, they don't know where it comes from, but that's okay. Like, I just find it funny because it's like, literally, you've literally put yourself in the lexicon of language. Because, you know, I've heard like very, very high end YouTubers talking about this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, I'm like influencing these people. That's great. So, but what would I tell guys for red pill? Look, it's going to wear off. You can't be angry, perma angry forever. So you might be angry for 6 months, a year. And then, you know, you keep seeing female nature and you stop getting upset. You know, you stop getting upset because the dog keeps stealing your food, right? You're like, the dog, it's stealing my food. I'm a stupid dog, right? And eventually you're just like, here comes the dog again. I bet just give it the food. Okay. You know, that should happen, right? Some guys get stuck in this like constant anger phase. That didn't happen to me, but it happened for a while. Like I said, it happened for many months until I finally got out of it. And then I still get people saying, oh, you're still just angry at women. It's like, look, I was angry like 7-8 years ago. That phase is long gone. So guys just need to get over it. Except that it might take them longer, it might take them shorter to get over it. But then it's not just the red pill rage 1.0, it's also the red pill rage 2.0. And that happens when you see the red pill rage is a conscious acceptance of female nature. You consciously sit down and say, she's doing this, 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 and this.
All right. So you mentioned female nature and earlier in the show about guys being treated unfairly. So can you elaborate on that? What do you mean by female nature and some unfair treatment?
Well, you know, just being like, if you bring up women and you want to talk about women as a guy, then you're not allowed to do that. But a woman can talk about guys all she wants. So that's part of what I've been working on today. So a woman can say anything she wants about men or women, and that's okay. But if a guy talks about even men, that's not allowed, because he's now considered a misogynist for bringing up the fact that men are treated poorly. That's what that video I'm working on today. So the guy was talking to this woman and he said, it's unfair that men are being treated poorly, blah, blah, blah. And then she said, you're a misogynist. It's like, but I'm just bringing up men's poor treatment. Because she's instantly assuming if he brings up this poor treatment, he's going to realize that it's women that are treating him men poorly. So it's maybe he's not doing it yet, but eventually he will. So if I call him a woman hater now, then I take the argument away from him because he can't say that women hate men because they treat us poorly. So it's basically projection, a little bit of gaslighting, all that kind of stuff.
Yes, even the critics of MGTOW will acknowledge things like divorce court, family court, leading to very bad outcomes for for men. Is that what you're referring to as some of the poor treatment?
Yeah, but not exclusively. Like, it's like there's like a lot of gaslighting. There's a lot of you know, control in terms of like in terms of the relationship. Like, guys are expected to be romantic. It's like, you weren't romantic, so I'm going to punish you by giving you the cold shoulder, or you didn't remember the anniversary. It's like, I don't see guys going around telling women like, you need to remember the license plate on my car or the serial number on my car. It's like, do you know what the serial number on my car is? It's like, no, I hate you. You're an evil person. I'm going to give you the cold shoulder now for a month. Like, mm-hmm. You don't see guys doing that. It's women that do that. And by doing that, they're constantly keeping us on edge. They're constantly keeping us walking on eggshells. It's psychological abuse. That's what they're doing.
So over the years, a lot of men have reported these findings to you that they've dealt with in interpersonal relationships?
Well, not just men, but like I've also noticed it in my life. And, you know, like this is pretty common standard female operating procedure.
And some of what you've talked about in your videos is guys getting married, and then after marriage, things go really south.
Well, in what sense?
For instance, there would be excitement, there would be romance, but then after marriage happens, that really falls out the window.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, women and guy, you know, they just lose interest in one another sexually over time. I found that never really happened to me. So I had, you know, 5-year and a 10-year long relationship, and I never had those like sex droughts that people always talk about. So I don't know what's going on there. Like, so maybe the women just aren't into them as much as they think. I don't know.
Yeah, some will try to sell marriage, and we'll talk about this later in the show, as like this blissful thing that you're always going to be happy. It's going to be this great thing. But modern psychologists talk about hedonic adaptation, that you get something new, you have this experience, but over time, it's not as pleasurable as it was, or not as interesting as it was to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can get addicted to one simple pleasure, and just like, maybe that's partial like spectrum disorder on my part, I don't know. But for me, I have this tendency to chase novel things and chase comfortable, like familiar things. So I like familiar things that keep me grounded, but I also like to chase novelty as well. So whereas I think most people are kind of stuck somewhere in between.
Yeah, the classic example, usually someone buys a brand new car, and for the first week or so, it's like, oh, this is shiny and fancy. And then over time, the allure goes away.
Yeah, they're kind of just obsessed with, you know, consumption, and they get that shopping therapy and the, you know, the dopamine that comes from buying it. I mean, I never really had that. Maybe when I was a teenager briefly, but then as I got older, like, I'll buy something new, and usually it'll look and sound like the old thing that I bought, that I replaced, right? So it's just, or I try to make the new thing as familiar as possible to the old. And so it's just an improvement on the old version.
And in your channel, you talk about frugality and just not wanting many material things and just being comfortable with less, as many people can get trapped up in the rat race of, oh, I need this new thing because my neighbor, coworker, whoever has it, and these people are making 6 figures or more, and they're still living paycheck to paycheck, and they're really not satisfied at the end of the day. Whereas the Stoics will talk about, hey, you can have a good life living frugally. Now, it's not to say living in squalor, having no possessions at all. It's moderation, having little desires, being happy with what we have and not wanting extravagance.
Well, I think it comes, like, for me, it comes down to chasing like experiences versus chasing possessions. So sometimes, you know, frugality, you can be frugal and travel. Like, so like, for example, if I travel and I make videos and I write those travel trips off because I generate money off the trips, that's great. So you can do stuff like that, and you can be frugal and you can also live extravagantly at the same time. I think there's like a fine art that a lot of people haven't really learned about it. Like, you do that to some extent by taking, yeah, exactly, right? So you know how to live that extravagant, but you're not living the extravagant life for the sake of living the extravagant life. You just want certain comforts because you don't want the opposite of that, which is like the misery that, you know, like dumpster diving can bring you, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's my other podcast, the Hurdy Gurdy Travel Podcast, where I talk about using credit cards, different benefits, deals to have these travel experiences without having to pay much out of pocket. So that's definitely been one thing, as some of the critics of the frugal life is, oh, well, you're depriving yourself of this and that. You don't have that experience. But here I am flying to other countries, flying all around the United States, eating these extravagant meals and having these experiences without having to pay the full price, because there's no way I'm paying $6,000 out of pocket for a business class flight to Italy. But if I can use my Delta Sky Miles that I got through a credit card signup bonus, like, that's a real no-brainer to me.
Yeah, exactly. So you understand the value of money, so you're not going to waste it on stupid things. But if somebody's willing to give you a promotion to waste it, sure, you'll do it that way, right? Like, you'll waste other people's money to live the extravagant life.
Yeah, and it's been interesting in many ways, because it's reoriented as I'd get back from travel and feel inspired to do other things, have new ideas. I'd meet some interesting people. All kinds of benefits can happen that we don't really expect. But as the Stoics also warn us, if we don't have a proper mindset, we can go globetrotting, we can go in different places, but circumstances might not change. Some people will think, oh, well, if I move to a different area, everything is going to be better. But if they don't have a proper mindset, then they still are with themselves, right?
Yeah.
So it's a warning there. Some people think the grass is greener on the other side, but it's not always.
Well, they take their mindset with them, right? That's all we can do.
That's right.
So if your mindset's screwed up, it doesn't matter where you go, you're just going to be screwed up.
Lots of Stoic parallels here. You said before the show, it sounds like common sense, but that's not always in great supply.
Well, it's people just acting out their animalistic subconscious desires, right? Like, I was talking about the red pill rage. So, like, you know, consciously aware of female nature is the red pill rage 1.0, but then being subconsciously aware of it is 2.0. And at that point, you become free. And that way, you don't even chase at that point. You're just like, because your subconscious isn't even looking. It doesn't care. It's like, I got other things to do. I'm, you know, and your conscious is like, great, I got other things to do too. And you get stuck in that mode instead.
Yeah, many people men and women will stay in very poor relationships that they're just kind of like living with a roommate. They don't really like each other, but they're just like doing the same thing from day to day. And like, what's the joy there? What's the fulfillment there? Some people think that, oh, well, being single is bad, but I'd rather be in a bad relationship. You know, that always seemed confusing to me as well.
The fear of loneliness. Right. So they don't want to be left alone, because then their mind wanders. And then, you know, if they're not in a relationship, then they have to find another purpose. And then there's also the social conditioning. Everyone's going to look at them like they're lower status. What's wrong with you if you can't find somebody? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. This even went back, as you had a video about women from Atlantic City, of all places, calling men bachelor simps for not wanting to get married.
Yeah. Back in 1923, I can't remember.
Oh, definitely the early 1900s.
Yeah, early 1920s, sure. Yeah. So the language they were using is almost exactly the same as what they're using today.
Yeah, some of the critics are like, oh, you're just so poor socially that you can't find a woman, you know, you can't get anyone. And it's interesting, because if people were to say this about women, like, oh, you just can't get a man, like, oh, like you were saying before, like, what a terrible thing to say. You're shaming her, you're this, you're that. But it's okay to punch on men in that way.
You could say, you know, you can't get a good man, what's wrong with you, like, you must not be a high quality woman. Say like stuff like that. It's like, oh, well, you're hurting my feelings. It's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but it's okay for a lot of these feminist writers to bash on men. And of course, feminism has gotten a very, very negative reputation. Recently, we saw feminist organizations defending Amber Heard after all of the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial, and dismissing critics as biphobic and misogynist.
Yeah, they're just look, it's the old technique of dismiss the evidence, even if it's right there in your face and it's real. Like, evidence doesn't matter, don't you know? It's all about our feelings. It's like, all right, whatever. Like, it gets to the point where you just don't want to even listen to these women anymore. You're just like, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah, and many women have even distanced themselves from the label as well. Like, I see these surveys come out from time to time, and they'll say, like, nope, I don't want to be associated with this. Like, it's a movement that says, oh, it's about equality, it's about this, it's about that. But in practice, when you look at what's being done, the vilification of men, the unfair standards in law, and a lot of the double standards, people are walking away.
Well, it's just, we know it's about equity instead of equality, but if they say equality enough times, then you confuse the two. And then if you confuse the two, then so it says equity, and then people are like, you mean equality? It's like, oh God, like I don't even want to explain myself. And most people won't even try to understand the difference between the two words.
All right, moving on to another topic we touched on. The common theme in MGTOW spaces is controlling your desires or controlling your biology, as one content creator, Hammerhand, says. Can you elaborate?
In what aspect? Like, there's a lot of biology that you can control. Like, is it sexual? Is it psychological? Like, what? Can you be a little bit more specific?
Sure. Maybe the attraction, people just jumping into relationships that might not be a good fit, just making rash decisions, just going on desires and attraction rather than thinking things through and making smarter choices.
Well, a few weeks ago, I was at a wedding and I was filming the wedding, and there were a couple women, the only two women that I would even consider, I was like, all right, these women are attractive enough and they've got like enough of an interesting personality. But the more I started like talking to them, they started coming up to me and talking to me. And so I was like, okay, this is good. Like the only two women that I find interesting in this room are actually the ones talking to me. So that's good. And then the more I kind of talked to them, the more I could see the red flags. And I was just like, red flag, red flag, red flag. like just drunk as a skunk. Oh my God. Like what's wrong with this person? Okay, bad. And you know, the other one is just being like, I don't know, just being like bitchy to everybody. So that's not good either. Like in terms of the question, you mean in terms of male nature? Like, I mean, I saw this and like the old me would have been like, I wouldn't care. It would have jumped at the opportunity of either of these women if it had the chance. But the new me is now starting to see all of these things in real time before, like I'm processing all the negativity before I even think about making a move. Right. So I'm just kind of like, all right, like, there's no redeeming qualities to these women. So why would I talk to them? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like any conversation or relationship with these women is a complete waste of time. So I think that guys need to kind of sit down and figure out the women they're talking to and just be like, all right, is this person high quality, low quality? You know, and, you know, we're even talking about the whole female nature and acting out on their own base desires and instincts. We're just talking about general behaviors at this point. Like in terms of controlling that, you just get enough experience. Like over time, you're gonna go through the experiences enough times that you're just gonna start to see the same patterns over and over again. And that's all intelligence is. It's, you know, pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like having high standards too. And you'll certainly hear this in some women's spaces online of, you know, the guy has to be 6 foot tall, he has to make six figures, he has to be this, he has to be that. And women will talk about this all the time. But if guys will say like, hey, I'm not interested in someone who's going to be drinking to excess, why the double standard there that the women can have standards, but, you know, but men
can't? You see all of the things, they're all superficial standards, right? So it's like, you know, height, can't control it. Like income, yeah, but what does he do? Like, you know, they don't say, you know, I want to meet somebody that's really interesting and has a really great life. And, you know, like, they don't want to bring up any of that stuff, right? Like someone exciting and something, you know, some exciting life thing going on. No, they don't talk about that. All they talk about is like six figures. They talk about the income. But then the guy, that could be just any old boring guy, right? Like, what about the personality behind that?
Yeah, so to be more conscious about what we want, what we're looking for, or whether we're just going to step away altogether. As, yeah, maybe it's just not a good fit for certain people. Maybe people are more introverted. Maybe people just want their own space, their own time. Like, there could be all kinds of reasons that people don't want relationships, men and women.
I've actually been throwing around the idea of interviewing women that I find fascinating. And, like, again, there's very, very few of them. Like, a few days ago, I was watching one of them, Eve Lorgan. She's a psychologist and she does like extraterrestrial work and stuff like that in terms of like figuring out the psychology behind all of that. And like, just she blows me away in so many ways in terms of like her understanding of psychology, but also understanding about a lot of these issues I find fascinating. But I mean, I have no interest in dating or relationships, but I just find it talking to women like that refreshing because there's a lot more like order in their brain as opposed to the average woman. And so much of the time we get caught up on appearances that we don't like delve deeper in, right? I just think guys need to kind of dig deeper instead of allowing their instincts to like the gaze of the woman to kind of take over and for them to kind of be disarmed and then just like fall for her beauty instead of falling for her brain.
Yeah, and as you've talked about in your channel, some guys get what you've called one-itis, where maybe they were really attracted to someone in high school or undergrad. They had this really strong emotional connection. Things didn't work out. Things didn't develop. And they're really stuck on that one person, and they're having a difficult time finding meaning because they can't have that one relationship. Can you talk about that? How would people get away from that idea? Sometimes we hear in some religious spaces of a soulmate, and this is like the one person for you.
Yeah, if you get caught up in the whole one-itis, like this is, again, a big philosophy question that people have been wrestling with for thousands of years. So, you know, you get Shakespeare, and he wrote Romeo and Juliet, and the way Romeo got over Rosaline was by falling in love with Juliet. So the idea is kind of like, you know, if to get over one-itis, you fall into one-itis with somebody else. So it's
the best of things, as the Stoics warn about too much attachment toward others, that we ought to have our own sense of self, our own life, and not be so codependent on another person.
Now, Stoics sound like they're Jedis.
maybe we'll use the Force in a good way here.
Yeah, anyway. No, it's like attachment is codependency in some ways, because you become dependent on that person for your fulfillment, and maybe they become the same way. And then it blinds you from all the other things that they may or may not be doing.
All right, let's move on and discuss some of the criticism towards MGTOW. One common thing we hear is not all women are like that.
Well, like I said, not all women, like some women can recognize their instincts and choose not to act out on them. But usually those women have something else going for them, something else they're more passionate about than just a man. Maybe they have an animal. Maybe they have like a career they're working on. I don't know. Like, so not all women are like that when it comes to men, but then they might obsess over something else just as equally.
Yeah. Or you hear like, oh, you've just had bad experiences. Like you've just met a bunch of lower quality people, but haven't met, you know, fulfilling partners or, you know, another line of criticism.
Well,
like
that's always like a cop out, because it's basically saying you need to go out there and, you know, she's out there. You just haven't found her yet. It's like, so you got to keep looking, and you're gonna spend the rest of your life looking, and you're like, I haven't found her yet. I'm 80 years old. It's like, she's out there. It's like, okay, at what point do you say, you know, do you throw in the towel?
Yeah, it could be a lot of time, a lot of emotional goings on, right? Trying to find that partner. And some people just like, okay, maybe not. Maybe I'm just going to do my own thing.
But the idea is that if they get you going out there and you keep looking, then you're still thinking about women. And eventually, maybe you'll fall in love with someone that's wrong. And you'll, you know, end up marrying that person. And that'll screw you up even more. But that woman will benefit. So they're playing this game where they're promoting bad behavior on your part, and they're saying that it's your fault for the bad behavior. So go out and make more bad behavior. It's like,
yeah, it's like, well, you didn't pick the right person, but how many people end up getting married and then divorced like 2 months later, a year later, whatever? They thought they found quote unquote the right person, but that happened to not be the case.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you haven't, you know, there's that analogy of like, you know, touch the stove. You get burned enough times, you stop touching the stove. It's like, well, you just haven't touched the right stove yet, right? Like, that one, they all burned you so far. Like, eventually there's going to be a one that's not going to be powered on. You just got to make sure you touch the right one. And the problem with finding the so-called right woman is, if she's a good quality woman, odds are she's already taken. So, you know, if you look up Aaron Clary, he's got this book called, I think it's a Book of Numbers. And if you look at how many women are actually eligible your age that meet all the criteria that you're looking for, it's only like 0.5% of 0.5% or something ridiculous. So then you got to ask yourself, okay, if it's 1 in 400, did I just find the woman that's 1 in 400 that's single? It's like, no. It's like, next.
All right, another criticism or critics. MGTOW came up in Canadian Parliament.
Okay, yeah. Pierre Poilievre was promoting his YouTube videos by tagging MGTOW back in 2018 before it was demonetized. And so apparently he like took the tags off after that. And, you know, so That's all that the Canadian government could go after him on. They were just trying to prove that he was a misogynist because he tagged some MGTOW in his, like, he probably had another 50 other tags in there. He probably hired some company to do it for him. And yet he's a misogynist now because he tagged MGTOW. They don't even explain it. They just kind of say, that's it. Like, they don't explain what it means or anything. They just say misogynist group. It's like, all right.
Yeah, and I think there are some who will have the red pill rage, as you mentioned, and we're trying to warn against that. As, yeah, there are some people who've really been burned, and it's like, oh, all women are this, all women are that, and like very negative. But we're not promoting that. We're not saying that's the way to go. That's exactly the wrong way to go.
Yeah, but they don't want us to be free of them. They need us to keep coming back, because so long as we're in love, so long as we keep chasing, it shuts off our higher reason in a lot of ways. And then we can't see what, you know, the powers that don't want us to be are actually doing to manipulate us.
Some will also lump in MGTOW with others in the quote unquote manosphere, the pickup artists, for instance. We mentioned the black pill and the incel, but we're definitely, MGTOW is definitely different than those other spaces, as the critics will put everybody in one bunch. They'll say, oh, this person ended some people at a school, or this pickup artist is charging guys like $1,000 an hour and taking advantage of younger men. They're lumping everybody together and using those examples to come down on MGTOW.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So look, all those other groups are not a threat to the system. MGTOW is a threat to the system because as soon as guys walk away from relationships, they stop producing as much wealth, right? And when they're in a relationship, they produce more as well. And so that means they work lower, like less hours, and that adds to inflation, because now if guys are working less, then there's more work to be done, and they have to pay the workers more to basically bring them in because, you know, less guys are willing to work. So it fuels inflation.
And you had a discussion with a pickup artist recently. It was Alex from Playing with Fire, I believe. And at one point in the conversation, it was very interesting because you told him, hey, I'm not interested in a relationship. And he was like astonished. I think his like neck moved back on camera, and he just couldn't understand it, or didn't want to, or was like, keep pushing the idea on you.
Yeah. He was just in shock. He's like, you mean you won't go back and eat the ice cream? It's like, no, I'm done with the ice cream. It's like, but it's so good. It's like, no, it's not. Like, you haven't had all the ice cream you want. So, you know, after you've had it for 20 years, what do you want? You don't want any more. You're full. He just doesn't understand that. He's in his, I think he's late 20s, early 30s. Give him some time. He'll adapt. He'll learn. And then maybe he'll dump the extra baggage that he carries, and that'll be it.
Yeah, many of these pickup artists come out later in life and saying like, oh, my main goal was to hook up with all these women. I did that. And now I think it just wasn't a good pursuit. So some of them are like converting to religion, or they're like, oh, I was mistaken the whole time. And, you know, like they haven't found fulfillment in chasing desire.
Well, yeah, like Rush V running off and becoming an Orthodox Christian, right? It's like, you know, God tells me that. It's like, look, you went from the crutch of women to the crutch of God. Now you can't live your life crutch free, right? So they need something that's going to give them, like, look, I'm not going to lie to you, like, if, you know, if I go into a church or a synagogue or, you know, whatever house of religion, there is a certain ambiance and certain vibe. I don't know if you could call it the Holy Spirit, or if you, whatever you want to call it. I don't know, but it's positive. It's there. I feel it. And the energy varies depending on who's in the church. Maybe it's being generated from the people in the church. I don't know. If there was a way to measure it, that would be great, because then I could like prove that. But anyway, I feel this energy. It's there. It feels like this kind of like you're drinking really like you're drinking warm beverage, and it's warming you up from the inside out. That's the closest I can kind of tell you. So it gives you a bit of a euphoric feeling. So when you're in love, you have a little bit of a euphoric feeling. So now you're going into religion and you have a euphoric feeling. So, you know, all of these things kind of give you this feeling, but they don't fulfill like some higher level, you know, of you, like some self-actualized higher level of you. That's difficult, because now you have to drop all of the emotional crutches, and you have to say, I'm naked without these emotions, and I'm just going to like work and build things. And a lot of people, they can't handle that because they're not getting any real fulfillment from that.
Yeah, and the Stoics warn us about looking too much toward externals, things outside of us, for that fulfillment, because it's very rickety, that there's a fragility about things, that those people might move on, they might go away, life expires, right? So it's not a certainty. Some critics will say, like, oh, well, what are you going to die alone? And I find that a really interesting one too. It's like, okay, well, having a person at your deathbed is going to like fix things, or like what's...
Yeah, I'm going to live in misery for 35 years, and then just so I can die with somebody next to me for like a week or two. It's like, what's the point of that? It's like, I'm going to wreck my entire life so I don't have to die alone.
Some critics will point out of like, look, this and that marriage worked out, this and that arrangement worked out. But what is the success rate? If the divorce is more than 50%, if infidelity is very high, financial problems, family courts, we've mentioned some of these risks, and some men don't want to take those on. They think the risks are too high and the payoff isn't worth it.
Look, post on Twitter today? Let me see. You know, people are posting here, like, affairs put a spring in your step, boost self-confidence and life satisfaction, but only if you're a woman, study finds. So it's this, like, you know, if a woman has an affair, it's a good thing for her. But if a man does, it's a bad thing for him, right? It's, what is this? Deputy science editor for Daily Mail, right? Like, this is now science, right? Trust the science. Women are allowed to cheat, but men don't do it. It's not good for you.
Yeah, and some men even excusing that kind of behavior away. Like, we had the internet's favorite Jack Murphy about a year ago, who was saying that, oh, this is an energizing thing for me when my wife meets other men.
So, oh man, let's see. Is he even around? Really, like, you reminded.
Oh, he's back. And if you don't forgive him, you're not a true American. You're not a true Christian. You know, it's still the train wreck continues, to say the least.
But does he still have a channel? That's still...
Oh, yes. He's back on Twitter. He's back on social media. He's doing videos. Yeah.
Let's see here. I just type it in, Jack Murphy. Did he change his name? No, Jack Murphy Live. There we go. Let's see what's going on. Let's see what's up with this. Maybe 1,500 views. That 4 months ago. He hasn't posted anything in well over 4 months. Now, let's see what people are posting under. Like, maybe he's been editing his comments. Yeah, I don't see any like, hey, cuck, what are you doing?
Yeah, maybe no more of that. All right, to move on to another critic, Jordan Peterson, who I actually had very positive things to say about in a previous episode. I even wrote a chapter about parallels of his work in Stoic philosophy, not necessarily that he is a Stoic or was a Stoic, but more recently, I've been seeing a lot of things that I haven't liked from him. Just shaming language, as you mentioned on your channel, calling people deluded or immature if they don't want to have children.
He's married. He's comes from a small town. So for him, relationships with his like childhood, you know, girlfriend that he had is a lot safer than if you're growing up in a big city and you're just like using Tinder. And he was doing, you know, he got married, what, like 35 years ago. And if you're in a small town, time goes back 20 years. So that's like being married 55 years ago. So, you know, like 1960s, 1970s, technically, right? So again, life was a lot different back then. Expectations were a lot different back then. So when he's telling guys to do all of these things, he's not doing it from today's perspective. He's doing it from his own experience from, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah, and it's just a tax on people. I would think it could be very mature for some people to say, hey, I'm just not in a great spot right now in life to have kids. Maybe finances aren't in order. Maybe my mental health isn't so great. So can it be very mature to say, okay, I'm not going to take on this great responsibility. It's not the time. Maybe it's never the time. And hey, I can just help society in other ways rather than giving birth.
Yeah, and look...
bringing children in the world.
Yeah, we're looking at, I was doing a video script a few days ago. It's about China. And the Chinese are now freaking out because the fertility rates are crashing. Nobody's getting married. Nobody's having kids. They don't know what to do. You know, they introduced the three-child policy. They're like, have three children. It's like, no, we're still having one. Like, oh, well, now the talk is basically, and at some point it'll be like, well, guys aren't having kids. They don't want to have kids anymore. Women are, no one's having kids. What are we going to do? Oh, we're going to introduce a social credit score. If you don't get married, and we're going to punish you financially, you won't be able to travel. You won't be able to like enjoy all these other things until you get married. I think that's probably where we're going to.
Yeah, maybe so. He's also called marriage, quote, your best chance at happiness, and quote, the perfect date that repeats endlessly.
Like, no.
This doesn't seem very mature to me.
Well, look, it sounds like he's dependent on his wife for his emotional stability. So he's so, like, obsessed with her that when the thought of her dying drove him into madness. Like, that's not a good way to live, right? Like, it's just like, you know, this person could die. It's like, if they die, I'm going to be a hopeless wreck for the rest of my life. It's like, all right. He doesn't share the views of the MGTOW community. He hasn't lived the experience of guys that are younger than him. So you can't, unless you've lived through somebody's experience, gained wisdom from in the same things, you don't understand where they're coming from.
And your best chance at happiness, if this is like the golden path that everyone needs to get, like the secret ending to the video game, maybe not the best chance. And what about all the people who have lost happiness in many ways because they got married?
Well, you know, I don't think he's gaining. Okay, so he's a creative type. So he's highly creative and high in trait openness. So he should have tons of purpose to kind of fulfill himself away from relationships. So, like, that technically, that, you know, somebody is obsessed with their creativity and he can be as creative as he wants and write as much as he wants. So everything should be working out perfectly for him, but it's not. He's still missing something. So he still needs those human relationships.
Yeah, I really liked his old lectures, especially the college lectures. He's talking about personality, psychology, philosophy, existentialism. I thought he did a great job with those. Even as a non-religious person, the biblical lectures I thought were really interesting. He had a lot of positive things. And it's like, Jordan, if you're not married, can you not create these great things for the world? Like, people have found meaning and fulfillment because of some of your work. And now you're saying, like, oh, they have to be married to have this kind of fulfillment? It's the best chance at happiness?
Well, look, that's why he's not being canceled. That's the way for him to kind of, like, deflect critics, especially women, right? Because women is like, oh, he's promoting marriage. Good, 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 right? Like, that's all they care about, because then he's like, good, don't take my slaves away. Keep the slaves coming, right? That's it.
Yeah, and they still hate him anyway. Like, he's this, like, ultra incel king misogynist, whatever. It's
well,
really wild.
Wild. Olivia Wilde was the one who said that. Yeah, no, she just said it to gain some, like, notoriety in the media. That's pretty much what I think.
Yes, and moving on with Peterson, this is from the Daily Wire. In the first part of the series titled The Promise, Peterson covers why monogamous marriages are rationally, intellectually, and spiritually better than the short-term hedonistic pleasure of the single life, which produces nothing but chaotic disaster, anxiety, misery, and a decrease in overall happiness.
Again, depends on the guy, but for me, I just can't find relationships all that, like, in terms of short-term relationships and flings and one-night stands, I don't find them fulfilling at all. But then again, I don't find relationships fulfilling.
It's quite the dichotomy. It's either you have the monogamous marriage or the short-term hedonistic pleasure of the single life. Like, why can't it be something else rather than short-term hedonistic pleasure? Some people are saying, hey, I could have relationship, I can have this, I can have that, but just not sign the government contract is what some men are doing as well.
Yeah, but the government contract puts you on the hook, and that basically allows the government to control you.
Oh, I'm saying they're not signing the contract. Some men will say, hey, I just don't want marriage, but I can have all these other things. Like, maybe you won't get the tax benefits, maybe some protections. But there's, like, weighing the trade-offs is what we've been talking about. And finally, Jordan explains that what you're sacrificing by getting marriage are the things that should have already fallen by the wayside with the advent of maturity, and that the gains far outweigh the so-called loss of freedoms.
Yeah, it depends on how much you use your freedoms. If you use your freedoms, then the loss might actually be great.
Yeah, so it's not the one path for everyone. And yes, there are some trade-offs, but people are thinking, okay, is it worth it? Do we really need all these other things to have meaning, to find fulfillment? And what have been your biggest challenges as MGTOW?
In terms of money, women, purpose, like, it's a big question.
Anything really. By intentionally being a bachelor, what's been difficult? What might be the hardest part of that?
I don't know. Like, it's made my life a lot easier in so many ways. Like, financially, I have a lot more money than if I had stayed in relationships. That's not only because I wouldn't spend as much, but because I had more time to earn it. I had more time to like think about how I was going to earn it. I had more time to work. So that's been a benefit. You know, the negatives, the only negative I can think of is just not getting sex and not being able to fully relax in somebody's arms and just kind of like lose myself in the moment. But the thing is, I know that's not real. That's just fake. And I accept that now. So for me, it's just, why would I do that? Why would I get involved in something artificial? Like it doesn't make any sense.
Some people might struggle with loneliness to some extent, as that's a constant challenge that even the ancient Greeks and Romans would talk about and how to overcome that.
I mean, I have too many things I want to do to keep me from feeling lonely. Like my day is usually pretty busy. Like I'm either starting another project or I'm working on a current channel, or, you know, like for me to have free time to kind of think about these things, I've already thought about these things. Like I could sit there and get all depressed and, you know, like, you know, so what? I'm going to die alone. You know, actually, it's a good thing because I don't like I've seen people when they're dying and they don't want people around. Yet people still hang around to show that they're virtuous to others by hanging around the dying person. And the dying person just wants to be left alone. Right? If you had a dog, the dog just goes and sleeps in its bed when it's old. It just wants to be left alone. It's like, don't harass me. I'm just tired and old. Leave me alone.
Just let me die.
Yes, exactly. Right? Like, and yet now humans are like, you can't die alone. We need to be around you and harass you in the last moments of your life. It's like, no, you can't die in peace. We've made your life living hell. Now we got to make sure it's hell from beginning to end. We can't give you even a little bit of relief at the end. Sorry.
Not even in the last
No, and they make it sound like you're going to die alone. You're going to suffer if you're alone. No, you're going to suffer by having them around at the last moment because they have to prove their virtue to everybody else, how wonderful they were to you. Meanwhile, they've been an ass to your whole life.
All right. And some critics will also say like, oh, you haven't tried relationships. You're just dismissive of the whole thing. But you've talked a lot on your channel about past relationships and your experiences with
two
them.
Solid long-term relationships that lasted 15 years. And then dating in high school. Like, I don't understand. Like, how much more proof does anyone need? You know, 15 to 20 years of like long-term relationships. Look, for me, it was never an issue. Like, people are like, oh, the guy's, there's no communication. He doesn't want to talk to me. Like, I always had plenty of communication. I would always give women plenty of attention. I there were like all these things that they wouldn't get from most men. But, you know, like most guys, they just don't talk. They don't really say much. So like, Women want a communicator, even if it's just to hear somebody talk to them because it makes them feel special that somebody's talking to them.
And any recommendations for people considering MGTOW, maybe implementing some MGTOW into their lives?
Well, it depends on like, have they taken the red pill, or are they just kind of like you got to go deeper on that one?
Well, sure. Some people may be spending less time pursuing relationships, maybe considering walking away from relationships.
Well, look, leave yourself open to being in relationships, but just make sure like no cohabitation and no marriage, right? So you can be in a relationship and you can live your life and have your own space and yada, yada, yada. But if it starts getting bad, you can cut yourself off a lot easier that way. Right? So that's one benefit. And that's technically you going your own way. But if you go monk mode, that's a completely different thing, right? Like that. And I think the monk mode thing just kind of happens on its own over time. You can't really force that.
And can you describe that for listeners? Monk mode
means that you're a guy that's not really in relationships at all. Like you're just kind of like, I'm done with relationships and sex and in general. And I've just, you know, the funny thing is, you know, we used to have monks and nuns, and now those numbers are collapsing. And it's like the only monks that are growing are the MGTOW monk numbers. Everything else, like Christian monks, are gone. So it's hilarious because it's like the only men that aren't having sex by choice are the MGTOW guys.
And yeah, going back on the Peterson thing, it was a thinking ape or Stardust who was saying, hey, there were a lot of monastic men in Christian traditions that priests were taking vows of celibacy. And hey, didn't they still find meaning with their traditions?
Yeah, exactly. But again, they found the opium of religion. So you kind of have to look at that from a different perspective again.
some people leaning too much on religion to find purpose, find meaning. And sometimes you hear like, well, if you don't have religion, then what's the point of life? Should you just end it? Kind of thing. And maybe there's some parallels there with red pill rage, that some people were brought up in religious traditions, but later in life decide, hey, I don't find good reason to believe these things anymore, but they're reorienting and finding purpose and finding meaning in different ways.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I just think that people need to kind of recognize that it's okay not to be in a relationship. And when you're not in a relationship, it's okay to kind of go and avoid your self-discovery and not just like feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, some people exiting a relationship and very quickly getting into another one, where maybe some would say, hey, step aside, spend some time with yourself and reevaluate things rather than just jumping into something.
I mean, I was guilty of that as well. Like, but then once I kind of found MGTOW philosophy, then I didn't need to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. And we often hear, is it like a philosophy, a movement? Like, how do you describe it?
No, it's a philosophy, right? Because if it was a movement, it would basically be, you know, guys doing something, trying to accomplish some sort of goal. But their only goal is a personal one. It's not a collective one.
All right. Very good. And anything else to add as we get towards the end of the conversation?
No, I'm good.
All right. And how can people find your content?
I can just do a search on YouTube for Sandman MGTOW, and hopefully I pop up now. I don't know. Sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. Or they can also go to like Odyssey and do the same, or Rumble, or BitChute, or MGTOW.tv. I'm usually up there in the trending on there. So yeah, you got a few ways you can find me. Or even on Twitter. I'm on Twitter quite actively.
And that's Sandman, S-A-N-D-M-A-N. Sandman.
And then MGTOW, yeah.
M-G-T-O-W.
Exactly.
Acronym. Yep. And what led to the name Sandman?
It's kind of like the Sandman comics. And it has to do with Morpheus. So in the Sandman comics, he's kind of also known as Morpheus. And that's kind of the character, like the role that I always kind of took to myself. I wanted to be the one that kind of awakens people, as opposed to the Neo character from the Matrix. I'm more like the Morpheus character.
All right. Very good. Thanks for joining me today.
No worries. Thanks again.